Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. Thank you for joining us for RAM Radio, the webcast, which is the Biblical Alternative. It's August the 20th, Thursday night, 2009. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone that asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast. In the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, I'm John Coleman. Mark Ramsey, my radio producer, is here in the studio with me. You know, we live in a world of professing Christians, the true believer. Man, I've been quoting this thing, Mark, for years, and it makes more sense to me tonight than any other time that I've ever quoted it.
Each time.
The true believer must classify themselves. Oh, Jesus, what happened? Must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. In other words, you don't think you are. You don't hope you are. You don't weigh in a little outside of the picture. No, you justify yourself and that position. Now, this is called a divine absolutism. Absolutely, every true believer does this, is this, must do this. That's why years ago, when I was doing radio with the Lord's help, and I'm not saying that he gave me some kind of divine inspiration to do this. I'm not a crackpot Looney Tune. I just thought about the words, put it together. I want you to listen to me. Stop arguing with me. Stop fussing with me. Stop trying to figure out why I do what I do. You know what I do. You know what I do, and you know why I do it. And you know how long I'm going to do it until I drop dead. I'm never going to stop doing it. Because that's how God, and that's why he saved me. He didn't call me to be weak. He called me to be a soldier. And what a soldier does, he looks at every other soldier in the rank, and he expects all the soldiers to stand at attention and give the right kind of product. Now, let me go through this again. In this world of professing Christians that we live in, the true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. Says who, you say? Says the Lord. You can't be his and not do that. Now, this divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Let me pause and read John chapter 3. And I want to start off at verse 1. "Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, that is to Jesus, by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher.'" And then he says, "For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, that's a pretty nice little saying right there from a chief teacher in Israel. Look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto him, first let me give you what I think his answer should have been. "Well, thank you, brother Nicodemus. Man, you're a smart man. Through all your knowledge and your study and your education, you are close to God." No, no, no. He did not answer Nicodemus in that way. He answered and said unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Jesus was an itinerant rabbi talking to the head Pharisee in the religious sect of the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. And Jesus points to him and said, "I say unto you." Look what he says now. Follow along. You're reading your Bibles. You got your Bibles open. You're looking at this. Because some crackpot sent me an email and asked for some scripture. How dare you? That's why I'm just going to take you to John 3 and 3. "I say unto you, unless one," now this one means an individual, the person, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, unless one is born again. Now, let's stop right there, because, see, we got to understand what this born again is. What is this term born again? I'm going to take you to another scripture and try to help you through it. I'm going to try to give you some baby food, because some of us need baby food here. Why don't you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter, let's see. I believe it's 2 Corinthians, or is that 1 Corinthians? No. My mind just went blank when it says that if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. I'm looking at, that 2 Corinthians 5:17. I was right on the right page. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, now just keep your finger there on 2 Corinthians 5:17. All of you turn to it. I'm not going to go too fast. My radio producer, Mark, you always tell me to slow down, right?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Let him find it. You got it? It says, therefore, okay? All right? Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, let me go on up and read it, since we want to do thorough exegesis, don't we? We want to read it within its proper context. Look at verse 11. Let's start at verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul says, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also to your consciences. In other words, Paul would say, look at us and let your conscience be your guide. Then he says, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. See, Paul is saying, be careful now. Don't get this situation twisted. Don't be looking at somebody because they got all that education, because they're doing this kind of stuff. But look what he says. Look what he says. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. Look at verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore, all are dead, meaning that everybody outside of Christ is dead to him. Now look what it says. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Do you understand what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, don't be looking at a man because of his intellect. Don't be looking at a man by how successful he is. Don't be looking at a man by how much money he has, how much prestige he has, about his works that he's done, even in the church. Don't look at that. He says, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Now, here's the statement. But how did Paul know Christ according to the flesh? See, he says, yet now we know him thus no longer. He says, therefore. See, this is the way you have to know Christ. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, if you're a new creature, you're made a new creature, and the old creature is not the dominant factor anymore. Back to John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus in verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, that's becoming the new creature, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus made that statement, and it was a wonderful thing the way that Nicodemus answers. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Now, Jesus makes it plain. He answered and said, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, verse 7, you must be born again. Then he gives an example or an illustration of what this new birth is about. In verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're unconscious of the time that it took place. It meant that you cannot define how God did it, but you know that he did. Nicodemus said in verse 9, he answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, you're a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, in verse 11, we speak that which we know and bear witness to that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I told you heavenly things? Jesus always spoke to his contemporaries in that way. But you know what? After Jesus had died, you want to know when Nicodemus got the picture? I didn't think about this, Mark, until right now. It was at the end of the book when Jesus was on the cross, when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea went and begged for the body of Christ. Now, that put old Nick on the spot. Now, when did Nicodemus recognize Christ for what he was and who he was? I don't know, because I can't ask old Nick, but I do know something. He would not have tried to get that body with Joseph of Arimathea if he did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When he talked to him on the rooftop, he didn't know what he was talking about.
Okay.
He said it. I don't know, hey, man, what? How can a man be? And then at the end of Jesus' three-year ministry, obviously he's been following Christ. Then he made a statement and did something. Let me start off with my commentary here. I guess I have to define why and what I do all over again. I thought that if you don't know me by now, then you'll never, never, never know me. That's, you know, me. And says, well, the only person that I really know that knows Jesus Christ and him crucified, the only person that I really know is me, because he spoke to me. And so for that reason, I do what I do. I don't have the slightest idea when any person that is ahead of a Christian ministry does what they do. I have no idea why they do it. I do not assume that God spoke to them. I mean, it's like the famous Greg Kokel statement when we were leaving the radio, right, Mark, that
right.
Sunday?
Right.
Leaving that Cape Ride station, and Greg Kokel came on right after me, and he said, I can't remember one time that God has personally spoken to me in any way. You got guys running whole so-called Christian ministries that have never heard from God. Now, to me, I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. I sure enough would not be doing this in my house if God had not have spoken with me. I sure not would not have quit my city job after 17 years. I would have retired with 33 full years of city service and been living like a king. I forsook all that, gave it all up because Christ called me and told me to do this. Now, I don't know what he's called any of you to do. Any of you that's listening to me, a lot of you that are young men that are listening to me, and you're intrigued with what I do. Let me warn you right now. Please don't jump into this if God hasn't called you into this, because you're not going to be successful doing this. Mark Ramsey can tell you, I only have a paragraph or so on my screen right in front of me, and most of the talk that I'm giving you is coming off the top of my head. I don't have to read a script. I don't have to pretend to know it. It is a gift that God has given me when he called me, when he saved me. He perfected it as I sat under a pastor in a very small, insignificant Baptist church for 17 years before he even called me to proclaim the gospel. setting under this man's biblical teaching and living the Christian life with a wife and two children. That's why, Mark, I can't play basketball, don't even know the game of football that well.
That's true.
Because my whole life was spent in the Word of God. Now, I got a lot of young men want to be pastors. They want to pastor a church. I want those of you specifically that want to do that to listen to me. Because if you cannot identify when Christ calls you, and don't be talking about you feel like he's leading you. Mm-mm. No. This isn't about Barbara Streisandism. This isn't about feelings.
Or people who need people.
Right. Are the luckiest people in the world.
That's right.
No, I'm not going that way.
I've seen many come across yeah. or come through Pastor John's teaching of hermeneutics. A lot of guys with a lot of suits and shirts and ties
oh, yeah.
have come around and they wanted to be the pastor and they had the misunderstanding of thinking that it's supposed to be a lot of people enjoying themselves and you're going to have all these friends and it's going to be a wonderful thing to be the pastor. Well, you're wrong. It's a lonely, lonely job. And just imagine if you had to listen to God tell you something about someone and then you had to deliver that message to them, one that they don't want to hear. It's not a friendly job. It's not that kind of friendly get along. Let's sit around and talk all the time. It's a lonely, difficult job when you have to be the mouthpiece for God.
And the pastorate has always been that kind of an occupation. If you want to put that nomenclature under it, an occupation, I call it enslavement. I am his slave until death. Now, let me finish making this statement. I don't have any idea why any other person has entered into ministry. I would hope and pray that they heard the voice of God giving them some kind of familiar command to do something for him. I would have had to been there when the Lord spoke to them about carrying out this divine will of God's through their timid vessel. See, I was only there when he spoke to me. I don't believe people like MacArthur. I don't believe people like the late E.V. Hill. I don't believe people like Hank Hanegraaff. I'm just mentioning names. I don't believe people like Kenneth C. Olmer, T.D. Jakes, Fred Price, especially Fred. I don't believe these people because they say that God spoke with them. And please don't tell me about the fruits, because there's a whole bunch of people that's going to come up to Jesus at the last day and say, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And Jesus is going to listen to him and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus isn't concerned about you writing books. He isn't concerned about how many people you got coming to a church. He isn't concerned about any of the works that you do. He's never been concerned about that. If you've read the Bible, you know that. If you're a student of God's word, you know that. You don't follow a pastor because he's popular, because he's big. And listen, let me say this. For those of you that attend Grace, keep going. Keep going. I'm not trying to tell you. Listen, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking with the ones that are God's children that needs to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ without. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Without. You got to be able to walk away from people like John Coleman. Walk away from me. Stand on your own two feet. I'm going to be dead soon. Are you going to be able to stand as a Christian after you won't be able to hear me on these webcasts? That's one of the things that I want Mark to be, is strong. When I'm gone and Mark ain't got a church to go to, can't find a pastor that's going to mentor him, that's going to do radio correct, will Mark Ramsey be strong enough to stand? And having done all to stand, keep on standing. See, that's what it's all about. That's why I do what I do. I'm trying to equip you to be able to live the Christian life without this. Look, everybody's talking about Joel Osteen, right? Well, MacArthur don't have as many people in there, but you got a different, really the same kind of people following Joel that's following MacArthur. They're following him because he's a brilliant exegete. And I'm telling you, you know, like somebody told me, a lot of times people are sitting outside the campus when they should be in there listening to the sermon, talking trash and walking around. I don't even want to go to that place anymore. I don't need to go. They got so many surveillance cameras going over there. They may see me walking in and send a security guard to sit next to me. Oh, and let me say this too, because I heard it through the grapevine, that some people think that because Bob Johnson hand out flyers and put it out on cars and gave it to people at Grace Community Church, that I am in cahoots with Bob Johnson. Are you crazy? The man gave me a challenge, gave me a deal, and I did it. I'm supposed to do a webcast with him to ask him a few questions for those of you that think that he's a nutcase. The man is not a nutcase. As a matter of fact, when you when you read some of the work that he's put together, he's very smart in putting things together. He's not a nutcase. And realize this, that when they lock the Christians up, that's what they're going to accuse us of being, nutcases. So you may think I'm a nutcase. I'm not a nutcase. Now,
just in case you need that scripture that Pastor John was quoting, that was Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23.
That's good, Mark. Let's read that and so the people can get a...
Just in case, I always want to know, where's that scripture? Where's that?
Right. It says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom.